It's a good thing to continually have the word of God come out of your mouth. There's power in words. The Bible says life and death proceed from the tongue. Jesus said it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. It's what's out of his belly that comes up out of him. So out of your belly shall flow rivers. Not river. Rivers of living waters. Something about the power of the spoken word. God has said in his word that he has elevated his word above his very name. He left us the Bible for a reason. Five times Paul said, brethren, I would not that you be ignorant. Jesus, when he was talking about the teaching of parables, he said that it's for the world, it's for them not to know, but for you. My disciples, my friends, it is for you to know. God isn't trying to hide anything from you. What the devil did in the garden. He convinced Mrs. Adam that God's trying to withhold something from you. And so she bowed down to that deception. But God isn't trying to withhold. He's trying to get to you. You know God is running to you, not when you do good. Not when you witness and you won 100 souls to Christ, or so far this year, you've been in church every Sunday, and you've been at every prayer meeting, and you've been at every Bible study. That's not when God runs to you. It's when you fall short. And you have a sin of not only commission, but you have a sin of omission. You sin against God, don't even know it. God comes running to you. Because he's already provided the Savior. He's already provided the answer. He's already provided the antidote for the poison that's in mankind.
Yes.
And the poison that's in mankind is a three-letter word. Old-fashioned preaching, I know. But the poison that's killing mankind, S-I-N. Sometimes preachers are scared to preach on it. Sometimes teachers of the Bible don't want to talk about it. But that's man's greatest issue.
Yes.
Sin against God. Let me get to the Bible now. I read some of this last Sunday. I didn't get a chance to talk the way I want to, and I probably won't today, but that's okay. God willing, I'll be here next Sunday.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
In 2 Samuel chapter 15, turn there with me. If you don't have a Bible, please look along with someone. If you're visiting with us, we like to open our Bibles. I encourage people to bring their Bibles to church. Get used to turning pages. Really, get used to it. You have a Bible in your living room or on the coffee table or in your dining room, get used to opening that Bible up. Don't let it sit there and gather dust. Don't let the gold foil still be gold 10 years from now. Use it so much that it begins to fall apart. I can't even recall and remember how many Bibles my wife and I have had over the years, because we use them. And we wear them out. And the glue, it starts to become unglued. And the gold foil no longer gets on your fingers. You know, when you first buy a Bible and you touch the little gold that comes around the pages, and you got it on your fingers and you're kind of washing it off or doing this. Now all of a sudden, there's nothing coming off on your hands. Pages start to come out, and you got to go back and put it in its right place, but you're using it.
That's right.
And then finally get to the place where the whole book is in here.
Yes.
That's what God wants. Last Sunday I talked to you about, matter of fact, let me read my foundation. You don't have to turn there. I want you to stay where you are. But the foundation was out of Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19, 16 through 19, with an emphasis on verse 19. These six things the Lord hates, yes, even seven, are an abomination to him. The Bible begins to list. And many times when God lists things, he doesn't do them in order. He just says what they are. But there are certain places where God will say first or second. And here we have a certain order because it's that last one God reserves for the end. It's the one that he wants us to focus on. He says, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift and running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and then the one that he hates. The one who sows discord, division, strife among brethren. That's what I want to focus on. So we talked about last Sunday, this young man named Absalom. He was the son of a king. He was the son of King David. And he decided he wanted the kingdom. Let me tell you why God hates this so much. Because the person who sows discord, strife, division, envy among the brethren usually takes some of the brethren with him. We're going to look at Absalom, and I want to look at this other created being named Lucifer, who was in a perfect heaven with no example to follow. And yet he still sinned against God. And not only sinned against God, the Bible says one third of the angelic host he was able to persuade to follow him. Yes. Rebellion always takes casualties. I like what one noted preacher said some years ago. Many of you know I listened to him a lot. His name is Derek Prince. He's with the Lord now. And he was teaching on this very subject. And one of the things he said was that when rebellion comes, when division comes, when discord comes, not only will the person who sows discord leave, they'll take not only people with them, they'll take good people with them. So I read this Sunday. I'm not going to preach on this per se, but just for the sake of review for the next two or three minutes. It says, after this, it happened that Absalom provided himself with chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now, I could spend a long time on this because I don't think sometimes when we read the Bible, you don't read it. Mm-hmm. He sent 50 men out before he came up. Mm-hmm. You plant the seeds. Remember Galatians, when I was preaching on that? Galatians chapter 3. Brethren, who has bewitched you? Not what? Who? It's always a person. Or put it this way, it's always a voice. It's not a thing. Brethren, which one of these 50 has bewitched you that you would believe a lie and not the truth? When I've talked to people over the years and they start to say things that I know are contrary to the Bible, they're contrary to the faith, it's contrary to the truth. One of the first questions I ask is, who are you listening to?
Yeah, that's right.
Don't tell me you got that on your own. Mm-hmm. No, I know how you were raised. Whether it was from a child or in this church, I know what seeds were planted in you. No, you heard another voice. Maybe it's one of these 50. They got sent out their head. You go plant. See, the devil is not an originator. Very noted preachers, especially evangelists, many will send out people to you know, we had this phrase sometimes, before you go there, you have to pray there. And so they'll send out intercessors to a certain city that they're going to be preaching or ministering at. And they'll send out intercessors to go and plant the seeds of prayer there first before they get there. The devil does the same thing. He's not an originator. He's a copier. And he's a counterfeiter. So he sends out 50. You guys plant the seeds. Don't worry about it. You don't have to persuade them. You just plant. I'll do the persuading. Mm-hmm. He has not changed his tactics. And when you give yourself over to another voice, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. But when you give yourself over to another voice, I've said to many young people and old people, any voice, any person that plants seeds in you that are contrary to the word of God, you have no business having a relationship with him. Yeah, but pastor, you don't understand. That's my cut buddy. That's my road dog. But they're planting seeds that'll cause a young girl or young boy to go against his or her parents' wishes. They're planting seeds. And there was not enough of God in you to cut your road dog loose. Because if you were to try to persuade me to do something against the word of God, you want to try to persuade me to go against my daddy's will, my daddy's heart. You want me to do something that you know my parents would not approve of. How can you even think that person your friend? I don't have those kind of friends. You start telling me that Jesus is not the only way, you can't be my friend. Let me move on and get a whole lot of amens on that. I'm just on verse one. I hope y'all got time. I'm trying to get through it. I want to get to Lucifer. I talked about Absalom last Sunday. But God just gives me understanding because he wants to help somebody. Sometimes you got to cut some folk loose. And some of them may be relatives. Love them. Pray for them, care for them, but I'm not going to let you plant seeds in me that will cause me to sin against.
Good word. Preach. Preach, Bishop.
I ain't mad at nobody.
No, you're not. Preach the word.
Mad at the devil.
Tell the truth and shame the devil.
I see what's happening to people. I look at all these earthquakes that's happening. Well, Pastor, is it the devil? Is it God? Is it? What is it? Well, first of all, you don't know. So don't talk like you do know. But God did say these things would happen as a sign. I was meditating on this morning. You know what we don't know? When is the cup of America's iniquity becoming full?
That's right.
See, we don't know. That's just something we don't know. Judgment will come when the cup of this country's iniquity becomes full. These earthquakes are signs. Get your house in order. It may be God. It may be the devil. It may be man-made. But whether it's God, the devil, or man, get your house in order. Because you don't know what's coming tomorrow. I was there was on USA, I think it was USA Today website, could have been CNN. There was a family that had been, some of y'all may have seen this, that were in Haiti when they had the earthquake in Haiti. They fled to Chile. Wow. Did anybody see that? They fled, and then what happened? See, the point is, you don't know what's coming tomorrow. Even when you think peace and safety, you run from this area because there's danger. So you live in this neighborhood, so you move over to that neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Get your house in order. Don't invite the devil in. You read over there in the Epistle of John. But the Bible talks about those who don't embrace the Lord Jesus. And when they come bringing another doctrine and another teaching, and God says, don't even invite them in your house. See, God is very practical. Don't make God complicated. He's very simple. Don't invite them in your house, neither bid them Godspeed. He says, if I just bid them Godspeed, he says, you become a partaker. Now, think about that. I'm not talking about, I didn't invite him over to eat. I didn't invite him to watch the game. I just said, Godspeed. God says, you partaker. Don't even bid them farewell. You never know. Maybe one of those 50 just coming to plant seeds in your house. Not to persuade you, just to plant. Not to change your mind, just to plant. Somebody else is going to come to change your mind. That may be your spouse, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, an uncle, a minister. Yeah, I said a minister.
That's right.
I'm talking about them reverends who persuade young ladies in their office. Get them behind closed doors in private. So I can talk like this because I don't meet people in private.
Go ahead with that, Bishop.
I got a young lady here. You don't mind if I put you on the spot right here? They getting married. Y'all stand up. Let them see you. They getting married.
Amen.
All right, y'all.
And you can be seated. I just embarrassed you for a moment. And I mentioned to them last week, I said, you know what, I would never see her alone.
Amen.
I would never see her. But why? Because her fiance got to trust me.
That's right.
That's their daughter, Joneses. They have to trust me. But there are some preachers.
Oh, yes, it is.
Come on.
I'm talking reverend.
Yes.
And we're preach. Fire and brimstone, have you shouting in the house? And try to get young ladies in their office. And we use the Bible to take advantage of. Let me move on because I can't spend a lot of time with that. See, people have been hurt in church. See, the church trying to fake folk out. People have been hurt in churches. Some people have been hurt by the preacher. Now, I ain't trying to hurt nobody, but I am going to speak the truth. And sometimes the truth what?
Hurts.
Okay, let me get you this now. After this had happened, Absalom provided himself with chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. Now, Absalom would rise early and stand beside the way of the gate. So it was whenever anyone who had a lawsuit came to the king for a decision that Absalom would call to him and say, what city are you from? And he would say, your servant is from such and such tribe or city. Then Absalom would say to him, look, your case is good and right. In other words, man, you're right. But there is no deputy or king nor of the king to hear you. Moreover, Absalom would say, oh, that I were made judge in the land, and everyone who has any suit or cause would come to me, then I will give him justice. In other words, I will give you what you want. And so it was, verse 5, whenever anyone came near to bow down to him, notice those key words. When anyone came to bow down as worship. In other words, you see, you're getting a picture of this is what sowing discord among brethren does. Someone wants to be worshipped.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I'm going to say that again. That was a good one. See, that's why I'm trying to get to Lucifer, because Lucifer wanted to be worshipped. When someone wants you to bow your knee, they're saying, worship me. Athletes do it. Entertainers do it. They want to be worshipped. And unfortunately, many of them are.
Yes.
People worship these athletes. I say they worship these athletes. They worship these entertainers. Then verse 6. Well, I got to finish reading verse 5. And so it was, whenever anyone came to him to bow down to him, they would put out his hand and take him and kiss him. Now, verse 6, this is what I want to get to. And this man Absalom acted toward all Israel who came to the king for judgment. Now, this is the focus. So Absalom stole the hearts of the men of Israel. Who has bewitched you? Somebody who's trying to steal your heart. I need to talk about that heart. The Bible says it's desperately wicked. You remember in the movie, you know the movie? Fireproof. And there's a scene in there where the gentleman says, you better not just guard your heart, you better lead your heart.
Lead your heart, yeah.
We said it many times to young people here. Usually it's young girls, but really it should be young girls and boys. Amen. Young men. Right. Young women. Sorry about y'all. Don't get offended. You better lead your heart.
Right.
And don't, singles, don't give your heart away. Mm-hmm. So easy. So fast. There's some rascals out here that just know what to say. Why? They want to steal your heart.
Yeah.
Smooth.
Mm-hmm. You may have to, as far as the world is concerned, you may have to be a little hard-hearted. I'm not giving my heart away that easy. I like what my dad used to say to me. Son, I love you. But respect is earned. You want me to listen to you, son? You got to earn my ear.
Yeah.
I'm not giving it to you.
Amen.
Generals don't listen to prophets. I said generals don't listen to prophets. There are some things in God, you got to earn God's way. Now, I'm not talking about salvation, but I am talking about this. Some people think that just because they're saved and they're living any kind of lifestyle imaginable, that God hears them. That is not the Bible. And if anybody preaches that, Pastor Marvin Stuart Mason said, is a lie.
That's right. We'll be with you. Amen.
That is a lie. Just because God hadn't struck you down does not mean he is endorsing your lifestyle. There are many people, especially in leadership, who think that because God uses them, and he does, that that's an endorsement. That whatever I do, whatever decisions I make, whoever I hurt, whoever I take advantage of, doesn't matter, that's God's endorsement, I'm still okay. It is not. You can live like the devil and be gifted. Can I preach? There's a difference between being gifted and being anointed. Some people, because they're really not in there with God the way they need to be, they think a person's gift means, man, that person sure is anointed. You can be gifted to speak and have people, like I said, doing flip-flops, jumping up to the chandeliers and hanging and swinging. You can be gifted to speak. You don't think so? Look at Adolf Hitler.
Yeah.
A corporal. I said a corporal.
Yeah.
And yet, now, I don't speak German. Except for Volkswagen. Yeah, that's about it. I can say that. But I can look at the History Channel and see film and video of Hitler speaking, and still he's got my attention. It's something to see that's a counterfeit anointing.
Yeah.
That's the spirit of Antichrist. But you can have a gift of music, and people say, oh man, that sounds like angels playing up there, and live in any kind of way. Gifting, remember, your gift will never bring the power.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The anointing is what breaks the yoke.
That's right.
Not the gift.
Yes.
Gift has its place, but it's the anointing that breaks. So that's why we can sit in church and it all sounds good. The preaching is good. The music is good. Everything's good. Well, how come we didn't see the power?
Amen.
As a matter of fact, you can ask that question about the church in America right now.
Yeah.
How come we don't? Okay, we got all these churches.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, churches on every corner, every corner, every corner. I went to Norfolk a while back, and I was at some type of men's meeting. And on five straight corners was a church. I mean, just one, two, three, four, five, all churches. With all these churches and all these believers, where's the power? Mm-hmm. I think it's a legitimate question. It's a question that we don't want to ask.
Amen. Yeah.
Because we don't want to know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
I know what the answer is.
Yes.
Then I can make it personal. God, where's the power in me? What's the power when I speak? Anybody listen? I mean, E.F. Hutton got people listening. When he speaks, I'm talking about I'm anointed. Anybody listening to me? Am I making a difference? Is anybody being changed for the better or are they being changed for the worse? Am I helping anybody, especially young people? Can these young folk look at me and say, you know what, if I don't know anybody to follow, I can follow my pastor.
Amen.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen.
I know what a man of God looks like. I know what righteousness looks like. I know what kind of church perhaps 10 years from now, 20 years from now, God uses me. And I'm in another city like Simone here, supposed to be in the church every Sunday, but she moved. And, you know, I don't know. I'm still trying to pray you back, but anyhow. But when the Lord has planted her in another place, she knew what kind of church to look for, and she knew what kind of pastor to look for. Why? She's got an example.
Yes, yes, yes.
Instead of going to church, say, okay, I really don't, you know, that the church I came from, where the pastor was, he's trying to, sitting beside his wife and trying to get with me in his office, and you know, talking about his needs. Okay, let me move on. That's and you daddies, you better watch out. Not in this church, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. But I'm talking about, you know, you could find yourself in another place. And just because a man got reverend in front of his name doesn't mean a thing. Why? Because they're trying to steal the hearts of the people. See, as a pastor, you know what my testimony is? I've never tried to steal any of your hearts.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus. Thank you,
Lord.
I haven't stolen from you. I haven't taken from you. I want you to give your heart, but give it to God. Don't give it to me. Give yourself totally over. Okay, turn to Isaiah 14. I'm going to talk about Lucifer. Lucifer was a created being. When I was a boy, don't ask me why I thought this, but I did. I thought that the devil and God were equals. Just one was good and one was evil. I mean, I'm talking about when I'm 5, 6, 7, 8 years old. That's just how I thought. I thought God was all powerful on the good side, and the devil was all powerful on the evil side. I never thought that, wait a minute, the devil, Lucifer, Satan, is in subjection to God.
That's right.
But it's the way people talk, it seemed like they were equals. I mean, when an earthquake, an accident, people call it acts of God. So all the good and the evil that's taking place, either God doing it or the devil doing it. Then I learned the devil's created.